If you're listening via Spotify, I invite you to follow Sir Kevin Says. If you're on Apple Podcasts, you can show your support by subscribing and rating the show 5 stars. Alternatively, you can watch the video version of this and every other episode on my YouTube channel, Kevin Michael Chong, or visit my website, www.sirkevinchong.com, and view or listen to them that way. Ladies and gentlemen, episode 27. We're here with Michael Paquette. How you doing, bro?
I'm good, bro. How are you?
I'm chilling, man.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being here.
Absolutely.
Once again. Inside joke.
Yeah, we won't share that. We won't share how we had to do this twice.
Yeah. Thank you, bro.
Yeah, of course, man.
Well, let's get this going, man.
Absolutely.
Voice acting.
Yeah. You want a snippet?
I want a snippet.
All right, here. This is my bio here.
Yes.
So I'll give you the bio.
Okay.
Y'all close your eyes. Here we go. 29-year-old Orange County native Michael Paquette is a performing artist, singer, songwriter, music producer, engineer, and voiceover actor. He has a deep love of the arts and for the people who participate in them. Known as a perfectionist, his core skill is working with up-and-coming artists who are learning who they are within the art form. In many ways, Michael is more of a mentor than a producer. Michael's other loves include the mountains and fine food.
Oh my.
Voiceover.
Let's go. Ladies and gentlemen, we are welcoming Michael Paquette to the show.
Yeah.
Super excited to have him here. You heard a little snippet of his voice acting career.
That's it.
Which I want to jump into. Let's start there, man.
Yeah, we can start there.
Let's go.
Yeah, it's really fun, man. I started voice acting 2-3 years ago, I want to say. And So I went to OSHA. Are you familiar with OSHA?
I've heard of it.
So
yeah.
It's a high school for performing arts.
Okay.
Right? Okay. So I studied classical piano. That was my first thing that I studied there. Then mid career, because they go from 7th grade to 12th grade. And so like my 9th grade year, I switched to voice and acting.
Mm-hmm.
So like I ended up doing some musical theater stuff and then other acting, you know, things and focusing on voice as well, performing. And I didn't realize that those skills were going to come back to me later. So 3 years ago, after I've been doing this whole producing thing, recording, engineering stuff, I got, you know, someone, I was producing this video for church, and this guy was like, hey, we need somebody to read this voiceover. And he's like, I got this website that I just find voice actors. I'm like, what's this website? So I look it up, and I'm like, voices, man. And so I start reading through and listening to some things. I'm like, dude, I can freaking do this. So I started looking into it and I was like, yeah, I can for sure do this. Next thing you know, I get hooked up with a guy named Bill Rogers. Mm. Are you familiar who Bill Rogers is?
No.
So Bill Rogers is the voice of Disneyland. So he's the ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls in just 5 minutes.
Wow.
Like, he's that guy, right? So Bill Rogers.
I should know that.
You should.
I love Disneyland.
You love
so.
It. Yeah. I mean, we've been to Disneyland. Yeah. You should know this. So that's Bill Rogers. He is the voice that you hear over the speaker. His wife, Camille Dixon, who is the voice of California Adventure. So she has introduced you guys playing at, what's that place that you-
Palisade Stage?
Exactly.
Yeah.
She's introduced you.
By the watercolor
exactly.
area, right?
Okay. And you had no idea.
That's crazy.
So it's fun. It's pretty cool. Like husband, wife doing this whole voice thing, right? So I got hooked up with this guy. He calls me. I call him. And then he kind of takes me under his wing a little bit to like point me in the right direction to where voiceover goes. Tells me to do a bunch of homework and says, come back to me when you're done. And so I do. And I learned a ton of stuff about voiceover. So then I go back to him and he goes, cool, here's a couple of different things and options that you can go to. And then I get hooked up with this this demo producer and then these other job guys that like are heavily in the industry. And I'm starting to get some work. And so I'm practicing all my chops and, you know, because voiceover is not just reading a script. You literally have to make this stuff come alive.
Exactly.
So it's like, it's like if I get a picture of a rabbit for an animation, right? It's like cartoon. And I have a picture of a rabbit who's wearing glasses, and the description says, rabbit is nerdy, but still adventurous, nervous, but kind of arrogant. How do you make a character come to life like right. that, right? Or like, okay, so I have to imagine this rabbit falling down a hill. Well, the animators have to have something to draw to.
Yeah.
Or, you know, so now, I mean, do you want an example?
Yeah,
okay,
please.
Let's try and do this. Okay, so if you close your eyes, I mean, you don't have to do that, but if you really close your eyes and you listen, okay, so if I'm this rabbit, like, oh, no, like, oh, what am I going to do? Right, so now I have to, like, totally change this, right? So now if I'm falling off this cliff, so now I got to, like, it's a full body thing. It's acting. It really is acting. Yeah. So now I go, like, ah! You know, so now it's like, now I'm imagining this person or this creature falling off a cliff. Now the animators can make it come to life.
Wow.
That's hard to do, man.
That's amazing, though.
That's
man.
Really hard to do.
That's really cool.
If you look up voiceover, whatever, there's tons of people that will share videos on how they do what they do. It's really fascinating.
That's awesome,
and
man.
And super hard to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I just changed my voice,
right.
You know, like back and forth. Like it's a complete new character.
Yeah.
So that's animation. But then you have commercial, right? Or promo. Promo is like next up on ABC, right? Mm. Like that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Or you have commercial like Toyota, let's go places, right? Like these different catchphrases.
Yeah.
So I mean, it's really
cool,
it's
man.
A ton of fun, man. I love doing it. And that's like, that's the new like path that I'm trying to really make things out of.
Who are some of your inspirations for that? I know you mentioned Bill Rogers, Camille, what's her last
name? Camille Dixon is
okay, so they both have different last names? Or
yeah,
what's the deal?
I think it's like stage names.
Okay, you know, got it. So beside them, who are your inspirations?
So Don LaFontaine is this guy he's kind of a legend in the mm-hmm. voiceover industry where he was the original like trailer guy, like one man or in a world, right?
Yeah,
that guy.
That deep voice.
That
right.
deep one. I don't have it, but you know, it's fine. I'm not mad. Don LaFontaine, he has that. Now, he's since passed. Now it's guys like Scott Rummel. You've heard Scott Rummel. Mm. He was the voice of Ralph's for many years. He did a lot of Disney stuff. And he's like on every trailer. I think he did the Avengers trailer, the Aquaman trailer.
Man,
I mean, you can find these guys
that's
everywhere.
Crazy.
There's a lot, man. There's so many people, and they each have their own niche. You know, you have someone like Bill Farmer, who's the voice of Goofy, and he's got this like Louisiana accent, right?
Yeah.
Like, and if you listen to Goofy, he's got this like Southern accent.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do Goofy, so I'm not even going to try. But just look up these names, and you'll find yourself really surprised with the anonymity of voiceover because you don't know who they are.
Right,
but they'll
right.
be walking down the street,
yeah.
and you'll never know.
Yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Can you tell me who does the voice when you're on the tram and the Spanish part comes up? Is it the same?
No, it's not the same guy. Okay. It's not the same guy.
No, it's a woman. She's like, y vigilen a sus niños,
okay.
gracias, or
yeah,
whatever.
I have no idea who that is. I have no idea.
Because I want to find out. That's the only part I always emulate whenever we're on the trip, or I wait for the end of that on the tram, when Disneyland's open, obviously. Yeah. And I'll say that, you know, y vigilen a sus niños, gracias.
Yeah.
Very high pitch, inflection goes up. So what other passions do you have?
So many.
A bunch.
So
I know
many.
That.
I have a lot of irons in the fire.
Yeah.
And it's pretty cool. That I get to do all that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I love what I do. So let's talk about, like, we have producing.
Yeah.
So, like, a bunch of different artists that I'm producing.
Mm-hmm.
Even myself, stuff that I've done for myself. Even to music licensing, all that kind of stuff. Then there's engineering, like audio engineering. I do a bunch of, like, weddings and events before COVID, you know.
Man.
And it's starting to pick up again, which is great. But, like, setting up audio for bands, and that's a ton of fun in itself. To music directing, playing keys, music directing. There's songwriting, performing.
Wow,
I mean, there's just a ton of stuff, man, that I just love to do, and it all revolves around this entertainment industry, which is super exciting.
Yeah,
and it's always changing and evolving. And,
yeah. What was your first instrument? Let's start there.
Piano was my first instrument.
Okay.
I started when I was 6 years old. So when was that? 23 years.
Yeah,
23 years. So started piano and grew up to enjoying jazz, a lot of like black gospel artists. Mm. So like when I was in high school, even younger than high school, that's like where I would go. So like Marvin Sapp, I was introduced to Marvin Sapp in high school.
That's awesome.
Byron Cage, mm-hmm. Smokey Norfolk,
Fred Hammond, Kirk Franklin.
All those cats, right? Like that's my vibe, bro.
Yeah.
And so I take a lot of those gospel and soul roots and I bring it into the production or even live arrangements that I make today. For example, I'm doing a live arrangement for the church that I'm music directing at, like mm-hmm. live arrangements, and a lot of them are covers, and I'm just changing them up to have a little more flair and a little more gospel hits, you know?
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it makes it different and a lot more intriguing
musically. Right.
And I love that. Yeah. I absolutely love that.
That's cool, man. Yeah. You also produce, right? For other artists.
Other artists.
How's that going?
A lot of fun, man. Right now, I've been working with a guy, believe it or not, country. So I don't.
Your favorite style of music.
I can't stand country, bro. And it's funny, and maybe we can touch on this, but my fiance, I just got engaged, which is awesome.
Yeah.
My fiance loves country. She saved me, bro, because another thing, I was DJing for a wedding. So another thing I do, I was DJing for a wedding and the groom comes up to me. Hey, we love country. Can you play country? I was like, yes, I got you, bro. Crap. So I'm texting my fiance, I need country dance songs now. Like, send them. And she saved me, bro. She like
that's
totally
cool.
Like she did the deed, bro. Like,
nice, man.
Completely saved me.
Yeah.
So that was interesting. But I've been producing this country artist, and I've been, since I don't listen to country, I'm trying to figure out this, like, where does this classic country sound meet this new modern pop without going to like the weird off the rails pop you hear in country right now.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of like too far in the pop realm. It doesn't even sound like country.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to make that fine balance. And that's been a challenge, but it's been a lot of fun to do that. And then I've been also doing this like urban, almost weekend vibe. I'm kind of rebranding my artistry. And releasing stuff with like a producer name. So I'm working on that project right now.
Nice, man.
That's like been my COVID project is totally rebranding and doing that. So featuring other artists with this production and it's a lot more urban sound.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited for that.
That's cool, man.
And what else?
Anything for church?
So,
because I know you just became music director at a church out here in the OC.
Yeah, so Influence Church, I'm kind of, I'm just helping them out with music directing stuff. So it's great to be able to do that.
Yeah.
Awesome people, awesome band, very capable band. So it's a lot of fun to be able to like just call shots midway and they're like, cool, I'll follow.
Yeah.
So one of the things we're working on is, like I mentioned, the arrangements of the live songs. So that's called like mixtape. And yeah, it's called mixtape. And we are taking like a song from some services and bringing it onto this album and calling it like a worship moment, right? Mm. Like taking a moment within the service that was great and putting it on this record. And those are typically the arrangements that I'll make. And then we just finished pre-production for their next live album.
Nice.
So we'll be doing that recording in November. The mixtape album will come out in like January sometime. So it'd be really cool to listen to. And then the album that we record in November will be coming out in like March. So all originals.
Man.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Dude, your plate is full.
Yeah, we got a lot going on.
And then any other work that comes up, I'm assuming, right? November, December, things are going
to
pick up.
Yeah, hopefully. Whatever comes up. I have a gig. I have to go to Fresno for like a wedding.
Flying or commuting?
Well, I have to bring all the gear.
Ooh.
So I'm driving. Yeah. But that's okay. I mean,
they're cool,
taking care of me. Yeah, it's good.
You recently got engaged.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us about that, man.
I did. It was a lot of fun. We went to Zion. My sister tagged along. She was staff for that weekend, right? she brought her camera and she was taking pictures of us. So it was really cool. So we went to Zion and I proposed at a Canyon Overlook is the name of the hike. Mm-hmm. Canyon Overlook. So it overlooks this whole Zion Park. And what's funny is she totally had an idea. So there was
I want to get into that.
Yeah. Here's what happened. I'll tell a story because people already know, and it's just a funny story. I'm okay to talk about
it.
So, speaking of this country song that I was producing, my, like I said, my fiance loves country music. So I was sending it to her, just like, hey, this is the country song I'm working on. What do you think? You know, I don't listen to country. What do you think? And as I did that, I was multitasking, which is something I guess guys are really bad at doing.
I concur.
So I was multitasking, talking to the designer of the ring, because I had a ring designed. And as I was talking to him, I copied and pasted that the text of the dimensions, all the dimensions of her ring to her instead of the link of the country song. I was like, oh man, bro, my heart, bro, just like it sunk to the deepest part of my stomach. And I was like, no, are you kidding me? I think I said, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, for like 5 minutes. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I called my sister. What do I do? What do I do? What do I do? And it, I mean, it was just terrible.
Yeah.
It was terrible. So she responded like in a way that was very gracious. She kind of ignored it and like brushed it under the rug.
Yeah.
But man, I'm a fool if I think she didn't know anything. You know, like she for sure knew that something was happening.
Yeah.
And it was no surprise. We've talked about this before. So it all I could do was lean on the fact that, cool, the look of the ring, the location, the time, all of that is still going to be a surprise. And that's good.
Yeah. You know. How's the wedding planning going?
Stressful as all get out, bro. Like, there's limits on the number of guests, and there's limitations on, you know, with COVID guidelines and safety protocols and having this all. It's just like, man, there's going to be people closer than 6 feet apart at each table.
Right.
Why do every table got to be 6 feet apart?
Yeah.
And then there's like things to think about, the details, right? Like the linens, the colors, the color schemes, the flowers. And the flowers are expensive. And for what, one day?
One day.
Like, dude, my wallet can't take this.
Right,
this is ridiculous.
Yeah.
But it's going to be great. The people that we love will be there and they'll celebrate us.
Yeah.
And that it's just going to be a great celebration.
Yeah, that's cool, man.
That's
next year,
all that
right?
matters.
Next year. Out in Orange County?
Yeah, we'll keep it local.
Yes, sir.
We'll keep it local.
Nice.
Yeah, no destination wedding or anything like that.
Yeah. So we talked a little bit about this earlier. You mentioned that you got into fitness.
I did.
There's a gym you go out to and it changed your life.
It did.
How so?
So before 25, I think I worked out a total of 3 months in my entire lifetime.
Hmm.
And I was spending so much money investing in my career that I was like, I don't got time for that. I'm doing other stuff.
Yeah.
And then around 26, I remember walking up this flight of stairs and I was like, dude, this is bad. Like I'm huffing and puffing and I'm like, I'm breathing pretty hard. I got to do something about this.
Yeah.
So I stopped investing money in my career because I was like, this is enough. I can handle what I got
right
now.
Yeah.
This is enough. Let me start investing in my health. And that was the best decision I could have made for a number of reasons. Number one, I got a lot healthier. I got fit. I met my fiance at this gym.
Yeah.
Right. A lot of good reasons. Met some great people. But the biggest thing, man, is like, aside from meeting my fiance, of course, the second biggest thing is that I felt more comfortable, like doing active things. They made me an athlete. I started running Spartan races.
Yeah.
Like that's crazy in itself, man.
Right.
I went to Hawaii to run a 15-mile race. Where they filmed Lost, right?
Yeah.
So Matt, that's a great show. It's a great show.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where I was in the middle of the jungle, like grabbing vines on the side, like going up these you know mountains. Like it's crazy.
That's
it was a
awesome.
Jungle.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun. It was mentally exhausting as well as physically exhausting. I think my knee cramped up like five times. But it was like, I got to keep pushing through. I see the finish line. I got to keep pushing through.
Yeah.
That's the hardest thing is seeing the finish line when you're like 5 miles out. And like, I got 5 miles. I got to make it to the finish line. Mentally challenging. But I did it. And it was like, it was such a great feeling.
Yeah, it's very gratifying, I'm assuming.
Super gratifying.
That's cool, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, all in all, like, I'm really happy. that I started this fitness journey, and now I hate not working out.
Yeah,
I miss it. Like, if I don't work out, I miss a day. I'm like, crap, man, I gotta work out, but I missed it.
Yeah,
it's like 2 a.m, you know. Now I gotta go to sleep. So,
talking about the mental challenge of this, how has that been throughout this whole journey with COVID-19 and back in March, where I'm assuming you have a bunch of things booked, you're busy, everything gets canceled, work essentially eliminated. How do you overcome those challenges mentally?
So I'm entrepreneurial by nature. I mean, I've shared, I have lots of irons in the fire. I want to start a bunch of different things. If I'm just sitting around not doing anything, I feel like that's such a waste. So during COVID, that was really hard for me.
Yeah.
Because everything shut down.
Right.
And I say this conversationally. I don't say this boastfully or anything like that, but I was killing the game, bro.
Yeah.
Before COVID hit, man, I got weddings almost every weekend.
Right.
I got work coming in.
Yep.
I was so busy. And in March, I remember the day, March 15th. That was the day everything started shutting down. Mm. And in March, man, I had a lot of money coming in that month.
Yeah.
And then to $0, literally $0 in 3 days.
That's crazy.
Because everything shut down.
Yeah. Yeah.
And there was a moment there where I was like, crap, what am I going to do? So to answer, it's a twofold answer to answer your question. Number one, to stay mentally strong, I had to continue to get up, make to-do lists, do things that were important, making sure that I was constantly doing stuff. But number two, continuing to trust that God was going to provide my every single
That's
need.
That's good.
Because if I didn't believe that, then man, I couldn't pay my bills.
Right.
I wouldn't have been able to pay rent. I wouldn't have been able to keep my car. You know, the list goes on and on and on. But because there was a trusting factor there, man, I kid you not, I think money was miraculously appearing in my account, bro.
Yeah.
Because I paid everything. I became 100% debt-free. I saved money during COVID, and not a lot of people can say that, man.
Right.
Not a lot of people can say that.
Yeah.
But I was able to do that
and
still continue to find pockets of work here and there.
Right.
And so it's just great.
Yeah. The power of tithing, right? I mean, that's such
We had that conversation.
Yeah.
And it's so important.
A lot of people don't believe it, man, but it's a spiritual practice more than it is a physical thing, because it's depending on God, even when you don't want to.
Yeah.
Even if we're making $10 a week, man, tithe to God.
You better get that $1 and go give it to church, man. I'm saying, because you said spiritual practice. It's a practice, but it's a discipline.
Yeah. There we go.
That's a discipline.
Yeah, that's
for
a better
life.
Way to put it, for sure.
Like, it's a discipline. You need to be able to trust God in that way and say, hey, you know what? I'm going to do that. And it comes off the top for me right away. Like, cool. Any sort of income that I get, cool. No problem.
Yeah.
Here you go, 10%. That's kind of a tithe. That's a tenth.
Yeah.
That's what it means. Right?
Exactly.
Give 10%. Mm-hmm. And because of that, I mean, I've had so many conversations with people who, I don't have a ton of money, bro. But there's still this element of generosity that I'm able to have. And so when people ask for money, like, hey, Michael, like, can I just borrow, you know, X amount of dollars?
Mm.
I'll say, sure. Here you go. Even if I don't have that money to give, bro, like, I'll often give it. And I find that when you have that sort of generosity, when you're able to just let go and say, cool, God's in control, I got this.
Yeah.
And here you go. It'll return to you so much.
Yeah.
So much more than you even expected.
Exactly.
And people don't understand. And so a lot of people, when they ask for money, I'll say, hey, this is like the third time you've asked for money.
Hmm.
Do you tithe? The answer is usually no.
That's like, good, man.
Cool. You need to start tithing.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, just try it for a month.
Right.
Try it for 1 month.
Yeah.
And then come back and tell me what happened.
Oh, man.
And I guarantee you that you're going to have more work, that you're going to have more blessing, that you're going to have like this ease of stress, that weight that's going to be lifted off your shoulder. I promise. I promise you.
That's good, man. Which ways do you feel that you are fulfilling your calling?
So I'm living my dream. I'm living my calling. That's what I'll just flat out tell you right now. I'm living that. And I think that it's a little bit of a complicated topic, and I'll share why. There's people that, number one, feel led to do something, but will never follow that lead, that call, right? So I would call it a nudge of the Holy Spirit, right? Mm-hmm. Like, hey, you need to do this. I'm feeling led to play drums at this church. Or I'm not feeling led to play drums at this church. That's totally fine too, right? But you have to have that discernment to then go fulfill your calling. But a lot of people confuse, they don't understand the concept of a calling. What I mean by this is there's goals and then there's dreams.
Yeah, I love this, man. I love when you get into this.
So goals and dreams, and people confuse the two all the time. For example, I'll say, one of my goals is to score a film. Okay, fine. That's my one of my dreams. Now, what happens when I score the film? Is my dream fulfilled? Do I have nothing else to live for? What happens next?
Yeah.
Right? Now I don't know what my dream is. I don't know what my next dream is. That's because it was never a dream. It was a goal. Simply put, it was just a goal.
Yeah.
But if I go deeper and I say, okay, what's my dream? Now I have to look at and say, the dream is the why behind all of that.
Yeah.
So that's why I started the way I did, right? Like, I'm living my dream. Mm-hmm. I'm living my calling.
Yeah.
Because I know my why. My why is to affect people in a positive way, to shift people's mindset, to give them joy, to give them a smile through every creative process that I do, anything that I have my hand in. I want to be able to do that. So when I read a voiceover script, is it helping somebody? Is it making them joyful? Even if I'm looking like a fool doing this weird rabbit voice, okay. If it makes someone smile, great. Is my production changing someone's life? Is it making them successful? Right? They had this dream to, I shouldn't say dream. They had a goal, right? To release a song. And then I was able to fulfill that for them. And now it's turned them to say, yeah, I'm so stoked about this.
Yeah.
So that's giving somebody a hand in joy, in changing their mindset, in fulfilling a goal, right? If I touch any of those things, then I know that I'm living my dream. I'm fulfilling my calling.
Yeah.
Because God has called me to be a stage for other people to stand on
that's
and say,
good, man.
All right, I may not be the forefront, but I know that I'm able to support the person and help give them success, whatever success looks like. And also, success looks different for everybody.
Right.
But as long as I have a hand to support on that stage for them to stand on, then man, I'm fulfilling my calling.
I'm fulfilling
my dream.
Yeah, that's
I'm
really
living
good.
My dream.
There we go. Living your dream.
That's it. I'm living my dream today. It's awesome. I love it.
You're in a music directing position as well. I'm assuming there's times that you deal with tough personas, right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you go about handling those?
So, yeah, there's tons of different personalities. I mean, you've probably taken tons of personality tests. And everybody has, right?
Yeah.
They all take personality tests. One of the things that I try and always do, and this kind of goes hand in hand with what I said earlier about the why behind the what, mm-hmm. right, with your goal. Let's say a person is angry about something. And that's typically like the common scenario in teams where toxicity spreads,
right?
Because if someone's angry, they can easily spread that to other people. I had this happen on a gig just recently where this person was trying to get these other people into siding with them, right? And it's just like, man, you can't share your side of things and expect somebody to side with you. And then if they don't side with you, then you can't be mad at them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Oftentimes they are mad. They do get upset.
Right.
So that's when toxicity spreads. And so what I have found is that anger isn't necessarily an emotion. Anger is a reaction to something.
Yeah.
So like let's just say like you are drumming at the church that I'm music directing, right? And you showed up late and you were unprepared. Those are two big things, bro. Like for any professional musician out there, be on time and know your stuff.
Exactly.
Period.
Right.
Would you agree?
I agree.
100%.
Yeah, for sure.
Know your stuff and be on time. So let's say you weren't and I called you out and now you're pissed at me. So that anger is a reaction to what? maybe you're embarrassed. And so because you're embarrassed, you got angry at me. Or Michael never talks to me that way, and now I'm mad at him because he did. So I'm angry because the reaction, because I'm hurt.
Yeah.
So anger is never an emotion. It's usually a reaction to something.
Response. Yeah. Yeah.
So when that happens, I always try and say, okay, let's find a solution here where both of us feel heard, right? Why are you upset? Well, Michael, you embarrassed me. Okay. I'm sorry for calling you out in front of everybody. Maybe I should have taken you to the side, right? Mm. So now I hear what you're saying, and now I'm saying, I'm going to own the stuff as a leader. I'm going to own what I did and apologize to you and go, okay, I think I could have handled that differently.
Yeah.
Right now, but at the same token, you were late, bro.
Yeah.
You came unprepared.
Right.
You can't do that.
Yeah.
So now, you know what, Michael, you're right. Like, I should have been more prepared and I should have been on time. Right. So it's leaving a space where both of us can be heard.
Right.
In a healthy way.
Yeah.
And making sure that everybody is like on the same page.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's good. I'm not mad at you, by the way.
Thank you. Yeah. I'm not mad at you, bro.
What's your priority arrangement? So I'll give you the example. My dad taught me God, my family, then my ministry. How do you go about doing that?
I think that's perfect. Exactly what you said. God, family, and then you said your ministry. I would put under ministry literally everything else, right? So God first, go to church.
Pay your tithes. Yeah.
Read your Bible.
Yeah.
Pray, right? All those things. Then it's your family or significant other, girlfriend, fiance, your relatives, immediate family, parents. Then it's everything else. And oftentimes what I find is if you have all of those priorities in check, then the everything else portion, even though it might seem like a lot, like I have all this stuff going on and my plate's full, even though it sounds like a lot, it just tends to work out.
Yeah.
It just works.
Right.
Everything falls in order.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's perfectly said. I wouldn't even want to change that at all.
Yeah. That's good, man. Yeah. That's good. What does value mean to you? That's my favorite question, by the way. If people don't know that by now, if you've watched any video that I've done, that's probably the number one question I will always ask everybody because I love it. Everybody has a different perspective on it. What does that mean to you?
Value. Yeah, you kind of stumped me before when you asked me that. But I think the biggest thing that I would say, value is just like this, it's this thing that you care about the most, right? It's of high importance. The way that I look at it, it's like, what do you lose track of time doing? And I love this concept because everyone has had that day job that they've dreaded going into, right? This is a perfect example. You clock in at 9 o'clock, 9:05, because you pressed the snooze button, you didn't want to go in, right? Mm. Whatever. You clock in at 9:05. And then you work. And then you work some more, and then you bang your head on the keyboard. And then you look at the time and it's 9:08. Time moves so slow.
Right.
Dude, when is my lunch?
Yeah.
You don't even want to be there. But then there's that thing that you can do that you lose track of time doing.
Yeah.
And you don't even look at the time. And then next thing you know, oh crap, I've been here for 5 hours.
Mm.
Typically, that's the thing that you love doing.
Yeah.
And that you value the most. So think about what you lose track of time doing. For me, it's being in the studio. It really is like just producing and just working on a track, right?
Yeah.
Next thing you know, like I start at like 8 o'clock at night. Next thing you know, it's 4 in the morning. Crap, I gotta go to bed. This is excessive, you know, but I love it.
Right.
I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Yeah.
I absolutely love doing it. Or if I'm like at a family gathering, I love my family.
Yeah.
I love when we get together. This has been one of the most trying times for me because we couldn't get together with my family. Man, that's hurtful. That sucks. The amount of times like, grandma, I just want to hug you, but I can't.
Yeah.
Right? That's terrible. But when we get together with family, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon. We're celebrating some stuff. Next thing you know, it's 9 o'clock at night, 10 o'clock at night. Crap, guys, I got to go.
Yeah.
But I don't want to. So when you value something of such high importance, you don't even want to leave.
Yeah.
And so I would just encourage anybody to just like find that thing that you lose track of time doing, because I'm pretty sure that's the thing that you value the most.
Yeah. Yeah. Where can people find you? Socials, music. I know you got stuff on Spotify.
I do.
Where can they find you?
So I'm assuming you'll have my name like on this podcast, whatever. So Michael Paquette, you can, that's all my socials. Michael Paquette. At Michael Paquette. Super
straight
easy.
Up.
Yeah. MichaelPaquette.com. That's my voiceover website that I'll give to different agencies and stuff like that. Michael Paquette on Spotify. Although I am, like I mentioned before, I'm rebranding. So I'll give you some stuff that's, it's not up yet, but I'll be under Wolfpack, P-A-Q. So that's the like producer artist name.
Nice.
So I'm totally rebranding.
That's
and
cool.
I got like 5 tracks right now that are super fire.
Yeah.
That I'll release under Wolfpack. Now is not the time, but it's going to be soon. But for now, Michael Paquette's all my production stuff, and it's me, you know, on there. And then all my socials are Michael Paquette as well.
Yeah. I don't know if I should call you Coach Michael Paquette, Bishop Michael Paquette, Hiker Michael Paquette, or Engaged Michael, because you could wear a lot of different hats.
It's a lot.
It's a lot, man.
It's a
lot.
Dude,
thank you for coming through.
Thanks for having
me. Sir Kevin Says. This is episode 27 with Michael Paquette. A pleasure, man. Always is. Love you.
Love you too, bro.
And
thank you.
This was a great time. So thank you for being here. If you guys want to check out more on Michael, search him up on Instagram, YouTube. Are you on YouTube as well?
No, I'm not on YouTube.
Not yet.
Not yet. I should be on YouTube.
Yeah, that's a good one to be on. Spotify.
Yeah.
And your own website.
Yeah.
So awesome. Thank you for being here, man.
Thank you,
Episode 27, Michael Paquette. See you guys next week.